Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, I'm Jason Tantra and welcome to episode 11 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast. Today, Ingo and I are talking about open relationships. We talk about what they are, we talk about how to navigate them, we talk about the spiritual aspects of love and truth and how that weaves into open relationships. We talk about our own experiences about open relationships. We talk about our relationships. This is a really juicy, full podcast. Be sure to listen to the end. We're going to give you our top tips to how to negotiate an open relationship. So if that's something that you're wanting to do, listen to our top tips. Also at the end we talk about the Tantra Love Festival and we talk about the Ashram, our online practicing community. If you'd like more information, have a look at our website, tantraforgaymen.com. That's the number four. And if you're interested in the Ashram, community.tantraforgaymen.com. Hope you enjoy. Take care. Bye bye. Hello, beautiful Ingo.
Hello, Jason. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Today we're in Brighton, aren't we? We are in sunny Brighton.
It's a beautiful sunny day.
It is, yeah. Gorgeous blue skies and beautiful sea, beautiful seagulls. And here we are, episode 11.
The ideal day to do a podcast.
The ideal day to record a podcast. Yes. So shall I jump into today's topic?
Yes, do that.
Okay. So the topic today is about open relationships. And one of that is about what is a open relationship and how do I negotiate one? And, you know, how does it all work? And the reason I wanted to suggest this topic for the podcast, because at the surface of it, it looks like it has nothing to do with Tantra or to do with spirituality. And in my personal view, actually, I think the idea of open relationships from a certain perspective is a hugely spiritual practice, because there's something about truth. And there's something about listening to what feels true for you inside of you and being able to communicate that on the outside. So I think one of the processes in Tantra is how to bring that inner voice, or that voice that, as I say, sits in the back of shop, how to bring that forward and how to speak your truth, how to actually be able to say the thoughts or wishes or dreams that you have and to bring those forward.
I think, as you are saying, I think it has to do everything with Tantra, even on the surface, I would say, because, you know, so many people ask us, oh, when I come to Tantra, do I need to have sex with other people there? And what's my partner going to say? Or is that going to impinge on my partnership? All of these things. And the first thing to say on a very superficial level, I would say, well, this might be controversial. Not everyone shares this, but I personally feel that if you really want to do Tantra, you need to put yourself into sharing intimacy, sensuality, and also sex, possibly, depending on what it is, with more than one person. Because you learn things about yourself if you do this with other persons that you wouldn't otherwise learn. And as we are always saying, Tantra takes intimate experiences and takes them for us to learn about ourselves. What can we learn from that, and how can we use these experiences for personal transformation? And I feel that the learning often happens in situations where intimacy happens in a setting where you where you wouldn't usually allow yourself to have intimacy with people that you wouldn't usually share that with, and that's where certain things happen. So I wanted to put this in.
Well, and all my alarm bells are going off as you're saying that, and that is a good thing. So I think let's take this all the way back to as we experience people that will arrive at our events, typically a weekend event, or maybe they're coming to the festival and they're interested and intrigued in this thing called Tantra. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the conflicts that I think people have starting tantric practice is what are my agreements at home? Mm-hmm. What do I have in place that enables me to feel free and to practice with, to join in the practice of Tantra? And you're right, from a men who love men community, and I'm specifically talking to them, we've said before, and I'm not sure if I've said this in a podcast, but there are the three relationships.
Yes, yes.
Let me talk about that. Mm-hmm. So in the start of a Tantra journey, you are going to have three core relationships as part of a spiritual path. One of those relationships is with yourself. So, you know, whenever we talk to people in Tantra, we always say, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? What's coming up for you? What does this remind you of? Because one pathway of the Tantra journey is your own internal experience and exploration and learning and discovery. The second relationship, I don't know if you want to talk about that, or do you want me to? Okay, so the second relationship for me then is about your relationship with others. So the other people in the room, your relationship with each and every one of those. Yes. And you're right, there's going to be all different types of sharings that are potentially available to you. Some of them are going to be sexual. Some of them are going to be highly intimate. There's also like energetic experiences that go beyond sex, go beyond, you know, the normal way that we experience ourselves. Also, in this group of other people, there's going to be all kinds of projections that we're going to have. Mm-hmm. We're going to fall in love with people. We're going to, you know, hate some people or get triggered by some people. We're going to be following other people around.
I love what you just said, and I want to stress that doubly, to experience yourself in ways that you do not normally experience yourself. And that's what it opens up, right?
Yes.
If you engage with people in a way that you, with types of people that you would normally not necessarily engage with. Mm. And that can be just having a chat with people you would never normally cross your path, let alone even go into eye gazing or some more intimate connection to share, you know, to maybe even share stories that you wouldn't even share with these kinds of people. Mm. And that can open something up. That's what you're talking about, right?
For me, the practice of Tantra, say that you're on a week's retreat, we literally take you into another paradigm, another way of experiencing yourself. And ways of experiencing others. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes we've been there and go in the middle of a workshop and I'm like, oh fuck, it's Monday afternoon and most people are at work and it's raining and here we are in the, you know, we're on planet Nunu somewhere in the universe completely having these amazing, and I'm like, oh, it's a grey Monday afternoon in England right now. So I think that's the other thing that's hard to convey to people, that Tantra as a spiritual practice will take you to other paradigms, other experiences, other realities, whatever language we want to use. But I want to finish these three relationships. Mm-hmm. So you have a relationship with the others. The other thing to say here about this relationship with the others is that is fertile ground for learning about you.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to learn everything in Tantra just on your own, doing your own meditations, your own sexual practices. That's a third of it. But the other third of it is your relationship with the other people in the room, for good and bad, for everything. It's fertile soil to work through the ego, work through different lessons, work through experiences. And, you know, for me, people leave a Tantra retreat totally in love with every single person in that room and totally in love with the world.
Yeah, I always compare this to, you know, imagine you have been living in a kind of local bubble. You have filtered the people you are interacting with. You have filtered how far you go. You have filtered them. So you're only going to, as your mother always say, you're only going to get what you've always got in terms of worldviews, in terms of living life.
Good point. Yeah.
And what I really love, you know, I remember just 2 weeks we taught this weekend in London.
We
and
did.
I was blown away how diverse that group was.
Yes.
You know, like anything from skin color to career to age to body shape to, you know, on the spectrum of gay, queer, you know, it's... And what always really, really opens my heart is exactly that. People actually really engage. I also start engaging with people that I would never, I would have never met before in ordinary life. And they can open my mind. These encounters can open my mind in a way that feels like opening myself from a kind of echo chamber or bubble to something that shows me the beauty of the world. And that's something, that feeling, that experience is something that then teaches you something about the nature of reality in my mind.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The third relationship
is
then
the
relationship, what I call, with the universe, or the relationship with everything that's beyond your mind, beyond the ego, kind of outer space, both internally and externally. And also in this kind of area, it's your relationship with the divine, the relationship with your definition of God, your relationship, you know, if you feel that you're religious or you're spiritual, it's your relationship with all of that that's beyond you as the individual and the other person or persons that are there in the room. So for me, there's those three relationships. Now, you're right, to engage... To be able to engage, you need to be able to be free to explore other people. And what I say by free, what I mean is that you need to kind of have things in place that enable you to do that. So one of the key things here is that people will arrive at Tantra, and I would say 90% of our participants... 90, 80?
You mean are singles?
No, have a partner at home. Or would you say about half? 60?
No, I would actually... I would say it's about half and half.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So half the people, the men that arrive into Tantra, have a relationship at home.
Yes.
And when we think about open relationships, you know, we've seen men... say a number of things. Some of them say they have a don't ask, don't tell relationship. So in their relationship, either party is free to go and do what they do, but let's not talk about it, and let's not even mention that happens. So that's one way. Another way is that, you know, couples are completely open. They play with other people. They play with each other. They play with everyone and life and everything. And that would be like another kind of another percentage. And then we have
another scenario that is quite frequent is there is a relationship.
Yes.
Sometimes a, you know, a longer term relationship has been there for many years. One person is interested in pushing their own boundaries and somehow they came across Tantra and the other person isn't. And then usually we get that a lot, don't we? This question arises, oh God, how do I tell my partner? Am I going to be okay navigating this? Because I actually do not want to put my primary relationship in danger. But There is a dimension that my partner says this is not for me, but it is. But I wanna explore this, and how do I navigate this? That scenario is quite frequent.
I just want to talk about this dynamic for a second, because again, we've come across this quite frequently, where, as you said, somebody arrives wanting to expand, wanting to grow. And then they have this person at home that doesn't want to grow, not interested in anything spiritually, and likes life in the routine and the way that it is. And I think it's really easy to demonize the person at home that, you know, they're stuck, they're not willing to talk about it. And, you know, all these different reasons why this relationship dynamic has existed. I just want to introduce the notion that in that relationship between these two persons, the man that's arrived at the tantra and the other partner, the other half of the relationship that stays at home. For me, these are both sides of the universe, both sides of everything. Like, again, we haven't yet talked in tantra, and we're going to in future, about what I would call the divine masculine and divine feminine, not to be confused with gender, whole other big discussion. But we talk about polarities, and I feel that relationships have polarities that swing backwards and forwards between the partnership. So, you know, if one part of the partnership is wanting to explore and wanting to go out and create, the other part of the relationship wants to stay stable, wants to stay on solid ground, let's stay with what we know. And so even for the person that is exploring, growing and expanding and attending tantra, already within that relationship that's at home, there are changes afoot or different developments and things that can't but help happen. You know, I know, like in my relationship before I met you, beautiful Ingo, I was in a 10-year relationship and I signed up to the age of 23, 24 to a total monogamous relationship. And I signed up to that because that was what I and my partner wanted at that time. And, you know, there was a time where we did not have sex for like over 2 years.
Wow.
And I wasn't touched by another human being for over 2 years.
That must be so frustrating.
Well, frustrating to a point where I literally had nails that were clawing through the walls. And I was in my, you know, mid-20s, had a lot of sexual energy.
So was it your agreement that no one would do anything else with anyone else?
Yes, or? Between the two of us. Yeah. Utterly monogamous. However, after 5 years in this relationship, kind of sex waned. I mean, you know, sorry to say this, it wasn't that great to begin with, but it was okay. It was never amazing, and it just kind of went downhill from there on. And I was there 2 years, and I was like, I'm going to go mad. Like, I don't know if anyone's dear listeners, as you would say, if anybody's listening, I spent 2 years, like I'd had a wank, and it didn't even touch the longing that was inside of me. I can't begin to say how my hormones, anger, frustration, do you know, I started a candle making hobby out of sheer sexual frustration.
That's horrendous.
I made 2,000 candles. 2,000 candles that were highly decorated. At the end, these candles looked like drag queens. They had so much jewelry and jewels on them. And I just utterly suffered this whole time because I was trying to keep up this paradigm of this agreement that I had and this monogamy that I thought was what we were meant to be doing. Now, I'm not saying for a second that monogamy doesn't work.
No, but this hurts when I'm hearing this. And what I want to ask is, you know, this number one thing, the number one thing in any person who an expert in this is did you not have a relationship yet where you were talking about these things? Did you not have a routine to talk about? A established practice to talk about what's happening for you?
No, it was totally, totally not possible to be able to talk about anything that was anything about relationship. It was absolutely impossible to be able to even name that there was a problem. It was it was secret. Yeah. There was no possibility to even say, help, I'm really struggling here. Mm-hmm. And the only point that I was able to raise, help, I was struggling, was when the relationship was breaking down. I was saying this relationship. And when this period of monogamy for 2 years of sheer frustration, I then, out of pure frustration, started to have sex with other men outside of my agreements. And the guilt and the hate that I felt for myself, and the punishments I gave myself for doing that. But I just didn't know how else to survive. And I hated being dishonest because that was utterly against my values.
So this is almost like, you know, you're almost like a case study about, you know, and how not to do things. So from what we know now after a lot of practice, what would have been, well, I said it already, what would have been the first step to in a practice to put that onto a more productive trajectory?
I don't think the relationship was able to
hold
that conversation.
Right.
I think that, because even when I said at the end, the line was, I said, listen, I've been doing some things with other people that I'd like to talk to you about. And it was like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want you to tell me. I just utter denial.
So again, the very beginning of all, the start of everything lies in honest conversations.
I think one of the hardest things I've had to accept about myself, and this is quite profound for me actually as I'm saying this, one of the hardest things I've had to accept myself is that I am a multi-sexual being and that I need different sexual experiences with different people for me to feel whole. That doesn't mean I have a dependency on other people. And that's really profound because we grow up in a society that, you know, tells us about monogamy. You know, it's drilled into us at school in a very heteronormative way. And one of my fears for gay marriage, I mean, we are married. That was my biggest wish, to marry you. And for me, you know, one of the most joyous experiences, the most joyous experience
was
of my life.
Our wedding.
And I loved marrying you, and I've loved being married to you. And for me, you know, our agreements in our marriage is, I love this. It was your idea. You said this, Ingo. Mm-hmm. You said to me, listen, you know, we both agreed we didn't want traditional marriage vows. Our marriage vow is to help the other person be the most that they can be and to support them.
Yes. And I'm so happy that you're saying, otherwise I would have said this. Mm. And this is... what's coming up from me, you know, if I sum it up, if I had to sum up, well, you know, I'm not bragging, but the something like a few rules to live a relationship like ours, where we are totally committed to each other, happily married, but at the same time, we are a sexually open relationship. Mm. We have each of us have all kinds of you know, sexual encounters, experiences, relationships outside, even to, you said other boyfriends, things like that. Mm. So, three rules that we touched. I just wanted to really put this out here. The first rule is to learn the art of honest conversation. The second rule is what you just said. It's to approach. For me, this has been just the most joyful path to approach a relationship in a way where it's my job to prepare the stage for you and the stage of your life where you can become the complete full potential of yourself. And it's not up to me to prescribe what this potential should be, but I'm helping you to open that stage, and you are helping me. That's the second one. Mm-hmm. And the third one, we might talk about it later. However, and this is maybe at the core of why so many people get freaked out this topic, is where is our core, as in safe space. The safe space, because we have safe spaces that are just us. No one can touch this. We would not share any of this with, I would not share anything out of that that realm with anyone else than you. And I know that you wouldn't, it's vice versa. It's not so much about sex, it's about other things. Maybe we're going to talk about that later. It's something more, in our case, it's something more spiritual. But what I'm saying is that safe core where you can rest and you know you are safe there. And having that, you can allow the other person to do, you know, to be whatever they want and to be whatever the stage of life is wants to come through for them, you know?
I just want to... Can I go back a couple of points? Yeah. You talked about honest conversation.
Okay, that's rule one, so to speak, yeah.
I just wanted to have some compassion for the people listening where honest conversation may not be possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we might be in danger of totally over... expecting, because we have that so good.
I'm not expecting. I'm like, this is something. This may take years to learn.
Well, I don't know, because I would even say that in my previous experience, and in what we've heard in other people's experience, that honest conversation has been next to impossible for some people.
Okay,
and I just for a minute just want to have some compassion.
Yeah.
Just some compassion and some empathy for that feeling of stuckness, because I get it. I know that place really, really well. And it's almost like you go into a denial of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, we've experienced this where some people arrive at Tantra and they just feel like they're functioning. They're just functioning in life. They're just doing their job. They're doing their friends. They're doing their family. And there's nothing there for them. Nothing there for them. They're doing their pets. They're just doing everything for everybody else. And they're doing nothing for them.
The feeling of living another person's life.
Well, just not even living a life, living a shell of a life. Or I would argue living a life based on other people's expectations of you.
I mean. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think that is a very, very lonely, miserable place, a place of real suffering. And for me, you know, my freedom, my liberation has been part of my spirituality. And I think this, you know, I passionately bang the table on this because I passionately believe that the spirituality is about listening to the truth inside of yourself and letting nothing, no one and nothing ever get in the way of that. And there's a huge responsibility to take in doing that, because there's the responsibility of, or the consequences and responsibility of that. And it might destroy the life around you. And for me, if it destroys anything, then it was never of any value anyway. It never had any truth to it. And for me, if everything is destroyed around you, then it wasn't in truth, and it doesn't serve you, and it's not who you are, and it's not what is the essence of you. I feel passionate about this.
Oh, it's a really, really, really old truth. I think it's a Bible. It basically says, if you bring forward what is truly within you, it's going to be your liberation.
I can't believe we're quoting the Bible in this podcast.
But if you suppress that,
Yes.
But if you suppress that, it's going to be your downfall.
Yes.
That's roughly the words, yep. I think. Yep. But I think it's whether Bible or not, it's a very tried and tested ancient truth that I think shows itself in so many ways. Mm. I've seen that, we both have seen that in so many permutations in people we have worked with, right?
I think spirituality is undoing the programming that we have. I don't know about for you, but for me, in my relationship with you, in the choices that we make of how we want to be, I am utterly in love with you 19 years later. I adore you. I support you. You know, several things. Like, you know, you say, oh, Jason, I want to go to the middle of the Amazonian jungle to explore plant medicine. My first question is, have you got enough money? You know, what do we need to do to make you go? And recently you were like, oh, actually, I need to go again. And you were feeling a bit down about it. And you were like, oh, I don't know, it's too much. And I pull my laptop up and I'm like, right, let's look at flights. We're going to get you there.
Well, this is interesting because I didn't feel down about going. I basically felt... It's like this moment, I think many people have this, like, can I really do this? Is this too far out? Am I feeling too entitled to just spontaneously say, oh, I'm going to go and see my teacher right now, even if he is the end of, you know, other side of the world.
In the middle of the Amazonian jungle.
Exactly. And and it's about... I think you and me have been pushing each other with these things. If there's really something that I'm longing, you have pushed me. Mm. Well, and vice versa.
Well, and also more recently in my case, how long have I been telling you I wanted a dog for?
Exactly.
And as we're recording this, there's somebody in their crate, a little 13-week-old soul in their crate. You know, and you've utterly helped me enable that to happen. So I think there's something about being passionate advocates for the other beyond where they may not be. And for me, you know, when I come back to this, what are your agreements of your relationship? I just want to come back to this point about how typically people are living the programming of how they were brought up in school. Mm-hmm. I went to a Catholic school. It was utterly indoctrinated to me that marriage was between two people, was about being nice to each other and making babies, more for people, and going and getting a job, being responsible all of your life, and that you should only have sex. This was one of my big issues at secondary school, that you should only have sex to make children. And I'm like, oh my God. And there was no mention of same-sex attraction. So I just felt utterly wrong, utterly didn't fit in, didn't understand. But I did have, at that age of 11, I did have a sense of knowing that actually what was being told to me was not my truth. I followed my truth as best as I can throughout my life. So what I'm saying to people is that honest conversation that we are advocating, you know, it doesn't feel good to do things outside of agreements. And we know that that gnaws away at people like rot. Mm-hmm. And it may be that you're not ready to, and it may be that that conversation, or it goes in steps, in micro little steps. But we've known many people go home and renegotiate the agreements that they have in line with the truth of what they both, who they both are, and what they both want.
That brings me to this practical aspect to it, because I would reckon that many people would ask now, okay, how... I'm not used to have these kinds of really honest conversations. Mm. How do I start that? Mm. And this is, again, really interesting because... In most of our retreats, we practice that at some point. And again, people practice that in the realm of trying it out with someone else. Mm-hmm. And this is such a simple exercise, but it needs someone to almost to hold space for you. Mm. And what I'm always blown away when I then witness people is you're going to put in front of someone who you don't know very well.
Yep.
Someone random. Yep. from the Tantra group.
Yep.
And you're meant to have a really, really honest conversation. What comes up when you see that person? Mm-hmm. What do you feel? Mm-hmm. What are your secret desires towards that person? What are the blocks? What and I'm always blown away that after about 30 seconds of uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
then something opens up for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to stop.
Mm, mm, mm.
And they don't want to stop. And afterwards, they almost lie in each other's arms because the intimacy that comes out of
that. Oh, my
that.
God, yes.
And yes. And that's something that has helped many many of our people who had that at home and were never able to have that conversation to experience it a few times and experience the fact that it's always the same, that after a few seconds of uncomfortable, the path to intimacy really opens up, and then it opens into something really beautiful. And armed with that experience, so to speak, then to go home and think about, okay, could I actually do this with my partner? Do you see what I mean?
I want to talk about this idea of truth.
Yeah.
Because I think that people can be under the misunderstanding about what spirituality is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've talked about it in previous podcasts. But the point I want to point out here is that for me, truth, like being in your truth, saying the unspeakable truth of you, the things you need, the things you desire, how you feel, that truth. When you tell the truth, there is something hugely fucking powerful. And as you said, the intimacy. So I think what you're talking about is that authentic feedback, what you're referencing.
Well, that's what the exercise is called.
Yeah, so we have an exercise where you really truthfully talk about how you feel about another person.
Yeah.
And it changes the group.
Yeah.
And what happens is, because I think there's a mistake about what intimacy is.
Mm-hmm.
People sometimes mistake intimacy for needing to be more eye-gazing, more holding, more cuddling, more looking, more sex.
Which is not true. Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with that. Yeah. Nothing, yeah. nothing to do with that. For me, what breeds intimacy, what is the most intimate thing, is where somebody knows your deepest truth,
yeah.
your total honesty. And I talk about the spiritual path being about love and truth. And it is both of these. And I know for me, like one, I have many tender moments with you, Ingo, but one of my most tender moments, I can't believe I'm going to say this on the podcast, one of my most tender moments is when I say to you, this was a couple of years ago, I was feeling really fidgety, I needed, I don't know, to blow off some steam, I needed to have sex, I was itchy, scratchy, I wouldn't say horny, but I just was frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, rah, 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 in my own thing. And I was like, oh, God. And I came to you, and I have found it very difficult in my life to name my truth. Actually, in my marriage with you, one of the biggest gifts you've ever given me, and I kiss the ground, I kiss your feet for giving this gift to me, is you have been so trusting and so holding. I could cry, actually. You've been so amazing at holding my every request and disarming the part of me that couldn't be truthful. Like, so I remember coming to you, or want to come to you and say, Ingo, I need to go to the sauna and have sex with random strangers. And I laugh because that was what I just needed. And you were like, yeah, fine. And I was like, what, I can just go? Yeah, go. What time do you think you'll be back?
And now it has become, you know, each of us can do it as often as they like, and we do not even bat an eye.
Well, not even that. Anything. Can I go to the Amazonia? Can I get a dog? Also, we're just living our truth.
Also, can I bring this other topic, just checking in.
Which, just okay, which topic's this one?
Just checking in when you a few years ago met someone.
Yes.
And asked me, can I have a secondary boyfriend?
Oh my god, that was massive. Let's just before we go
because
to that.
This is very, very beautiful.
I just
want
to finish
actually.
Naming this previous situation.
Yeah.
When you were just like, yes, that's fine, go and do it, my heart just utterly melted. I loved you so much in that moment because what you enabled in me was to express a need and to feel the freedom that I'm okay. I felt validated. I didn't feel strange. I felt like I was okay and that this was okay. I can't tell you, Ingo, the release, the feeling seen, and in that being seen and being held, I just fell in love with you even more. Like, I just keep falling in love with you all of these 19 years. And that was a really big moment. So I know you want to talk about this other thing, but I just really wanted to name how powerful that was, that truth. And that for me, in that moment, was a massively spiritual practice because it was like beyond my ego, beyond my conditioning, beyond my background, beyond what I've been told by other people. Here I was potentially naming the unnameable to my husband of what I would like to do. And you were like, yeah, that's fine. Go and do it. Go and enjoy it. Have fun. Tell me about it when you get back. Hugely fucking profound. And
look,
the next layer up of that.
Look, I wanted to come to one truth that is really important for me in this, and doesn't matter whether it's this example or the other example. For me, it's this thing about the safe place. So, from the beginning of knowing you, I had this feeling that we are here to. We are together for a reason that transcends you and me. So we are almost here on the mission. And out of that mission, incredible, it's a very long-term thing. It's a completely long-term thing. And we, it's almost a spiritual contract that we have had. Almost, you know, if I believed in reincarnation, it would be over several lives. And that is completely rock solid, clear for me. And from that perspective, you can do anything you'd like as long as that connection, that long-term connection is our safe space.
Well, and for me, our relationship is the foundation of us. Like, for me, it's unthinkable that I wouldn't be married to
you. Wait a moment. So in practical terms, this would mean you can have sex with anyone you like. You can even have secondary boyfriends. What my safe space that can't be touched is the space where we live the long-term vision together, where we live and plan our life together, where we dream together about what we want to bring into this world together. And the biggest thing of that is Tantra for Gay Men. When we dream together who we want to develop into spiritually, when we practice together, when we follow a spiritual path together, that's something that transcends a visit to the sauna by 1,000 orders of magnitude. And it even transcends, may I say, me having, you know, I've got some fuck buddies or something like that, and you may have, you may go to see people, whatever you choose to. What we share, that is my rock solid safe space, because I know it transcends all of these things by 1,000 orders of magnitude. And that is just so beautiful, because resting in that, for me also, that eliminates any sense of jealousy, because that's a bitch jealousy, isn't it, for people. Oh god, I'm jealous when I imagine him in bed with another person or something like that. And for me, that just eliminates that, because I just completely feel it's almost as if all of your experiences, whatever they may be, even if that's with another person, they are part of you, and you are part of you are part of our path together. So that is as your experience that is still shared, and that's part of who you are becoming, and who you are becoming is part of our practice as a couple. So that is the rock solid safe space.
I want to talk about jealousy.
Yeah.
And then we're going to need to bring this to a close because we've been talking for 40 minutes already.
We haven't even started with the topic.
But I want to talk about... So when we first met...
Yes.
We met in a Tantra workshop in Germany. Mm-hmm. And we, over the next 2 to 3 years, we were in peer groups. Mm-hmm. And I... So when I left my previous relationship, the promise I made to myself... was that I was never going to be in a relationship again where I could not be the truth of who I was.
Yes.
And that I was never going to lie to myself, and I was never going to be in any agreements with anybody that took away from my freedom. At that point, when I met you, when I was 34, 35...
You 32? Were. I was 30. You were 32 then.
Oh wow! Okay, we were little young. When I look at our photographs of us back then, we were very young spring chickens. Let me tell you, half the weight we are now. Anyway, so when I met you, I was like, I'm never going to be in a relationship where I cannot be the truth of who I am. Mm-hmm. What then took me by surprise was then seeing you in tantric spaces, being in intimacy with other men, and suddenly this green-eyed monster arose, jealousy.
Yeah, I remember that.
That one. I have never, ever experienced in my whole life. And I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is this? And it's like, oh my God. And it would eat through the whole of my being, and oh my God. And... the first thing I did, so back to what we were saying earlier about radical honesty.
Radical honesty, yeah.
I came and told you. I was like, I don't want you to change a thing. I don't want you to do anything differently. But you need to know I am hugely jealous. And that already disarmed the jealousy.
Yes.
And the other conclusion that I got to, and this was a really profound, profound thing for me, was that if I really loved you, okay, if I really, and this might be helpful to people listening or tricky, but I was like, if I truly loved you without needing anything from you, if I truly unconditionally loved you, then why would I not want you to have every pleasure in life that you could have? Why would I not want that? And also, do I feel like the only thing for you that can bring you pleasure, that should bring you every pleasure in your life, whether that's sexually, whether that's, you know, I cook for you often, whether,
And specifically tantric spaces, because as many of our listeners know, at that time, that was what I was really looking for, these kinds of spaces to be sexual in.
And I was then thinking, well, if Ingo runs off with somebody else, if he falls in love with somebody else beyond us and beyond our relationship, well, then our relationship wasn't meant to be. That's, that had reached its natural end. But it was this specific point of, if I truly loved you, then I needed to let you go in terms of my attachment. Thank you. It was in terms of my attachments. I needed to hack through my attachments to you so that you could be free and I could then be free. And that was massive for me. I don't know how I'm talking about it, whether it's as profound as I'm feeling it and talking about it.
Well, there's a super profound, timeless spiritual truth in there. Mm. Osho talked a lot about that, about the nexus between love and freedom, where he said it's true love as a couple is about radical freedom for each other. And I agree, it's a practice, because from that point, from that radical freedom, paradoxically, you find your transcendent safe space, something that you share that is eternal and that no one else can touch. Mm. It's very interesting.
So let's summarize this podcast then, Ingo. So if we were giving some top tips for people listening to this, talking about open relationship, yes, what would be the top summary tips that we would
tip
say?
Tip number one, learn, put yourself into learning the art of honest conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, and that means honest conversation with other people.
Yes, that, yep, and practicing that can then have this trickle down effect, yep, on knowing how to do this with your significant other.
Tip number two for me would be having rock solid agreements in place.
Absolutely.
So that you can feel free to explore yourself, whether that's in tantra, whether that's, you know, trussed up like a goodness knows what, goodness knows where, but that you have agreements, because it gnaws away at your spirit, mm-hmm, when you're living counter to the agreements that you have at home. So it's like making sure the agreements you have at home are supporting, yes, you to be doing what you're doing.
Tip three, we didn't talk about this too much, but we touched this, is have a practice that brings forward who you really are deep, yep, within yourself.
Yep.
Who are you? And what it is, what is your honest, mm-hmm, that which wants to come forward,
yep,
and learn how to bring that forward. Yep. And again, that can be learned. Mm-hmm.
Tip four for me, undo the conditioning.
Yes.
Don't accept that you need to live your life based on other people's ideas of what good looks like.
Yes.
Actually get used to defining your own truth, feeling what feels right for you, mm-hmm, and live your truth. And, you know, fuck convention, yes, fuck other people's ideas,
yeah,
live nothing but the truth of you. As long as it doesn't harm anybody, mm-hmm, as long as it's not illegal, then, you know, you're free to experience yourself and be the truth of who, yes, you are. So for me, live the truth of who you are.
Next tip.
Yep.
Find together what your core, what your safe space is. Mm-hmm. I think that I really feel that every couple needs something that can't be touched. Mm, mm. But I think it's a misconception that needs to be sex or intimacy with others, mm, or something like that. Mm, mm. What is that for, yeah, you? For us, I would say it's a spiritual and long-term life,
yep,
thing,
yep,
mainly. But that might differ for others. But in the very end, I think you can only find that out through your own spiritual practice, yeah, and through meditation, but it will come forward. What is that safe space that, yeah, that you share?
My next top tip in your relationship, look at what the foundations of your relationship are. What are the marriage vows? Mm-hmm. Who are you in that relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Last, yeah, tip, this ideal of... that element of relationship that is about preparing the best stage, mm, for your partner so that your partner can realize his full potential, mm, in this life. Mm. And really, that's what you are there for in partnership.
Beautiful. Let's talk a little bit about the Tantra Love Festival. When this podcast, yeah, goes out, my love, we are going to be a few weeks away from the Tantra Love Festival. Mm-hmm. It's in Glastonbury. It starts, mm-hmm, Saturday the 24th of August, finishes Wednesday the 28th. So it's 5 days of, mm, love, of up to 100 men. How many workshops have we got? Up to 40 different workshops?
Yes, something like between 35, 40.
And it is a tantric playground. It is a total fun, love, profound, loving, intimate, sensual, juicy, yeah, spiritual, profound, divine, just incredible. Is this our 12th or 13th one?
12th.
The 12th Tantra Love Festival.
And what I wanted to say, it's what I'm always so in love with is that community, mm, that has formed, mm, through that, of, mm, people who come every year again. Mm. And then, so if you're new, mm, and would like to come there, I promise you will be blown away by how easy it is, mm, to be completely accepted, mm, into for whoever you are into this community, and to have really deep connections with people.
And men come to us from all over the world, from the USA, mm, Israel, South Africa, Singapore, all of Europe,
yeah,
Australia.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you feel Have a look on the website, and yeah, we would love to welcome you. It's a total uplifting experience, and it just sits in people's hearts, mm-hmm. doesn't it? And go for months and months afterwards. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you for today, Ingo. That's been amazing.
Thank you, my darling.
So yes, that's the Tantra Love Festival. If you want to have a look at our website, tantra4gaymen.com. Thank you for everything you brought today. Thank you, dear listeners. We really hope this serves
you. Thank you, dear listeners.
If you've got any questions from today's podcast, you can talk about those in our community app called the Tantra for Gay Men Ashram. Mm-hmm. We are a practicing community, and in the ashram you will see a section on podcast, and there you can ask questions, give feedback. That's community.tantra4gaymen.com.
And also in the ashram we have lots of online practicing groups.
Yes.
Because when we talk about like exercises uh-huh. that you could do and how to actually put these things into practice mm-hmm. that we are talking about, mm-hmm. We are developing basically online online programs
yes.
for you to be able to yes. actually practice these things from the comfort of your home.
And you can join at any time.
Yes.
And if you're interested, again, in the community app, in the ashram, have a read about it on the left-hand side. Okay, we love you. Can't wait to meet you in episode 12. Take care till then. Goodbye. Bye-bye. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode 11, all about open relationships. Listen, if you'd like to take part in the conversation, you can do that in our ashram, our online practicing community. The website address for that is community.tantra4gaymen.com. And if you're interested to come and join us at the Tantra Love Festival, you can do that at tantra4gaymen.com. We are super stoked to meet you in episode 12. Take care till then. Lots of love to you. Bye-bye.